And we're talking to a Dr. Harry Hodiono, the president of the Ontario Dental Association. This is about the whole thing with fluoride in the water. Now, he's a big proponent. As a matter of fact, these were his words.
Absolutely a good idea, and I think it was a thoughtful and wise decision by City Council.
All right, that to defeat this motion to take the fluoride out of the water and save the city $2 million. Well, in the interest of covering as many aspects of the story and getting drilling down to the truth, if there is such, we've been joined on the line with Dr. Paul Kinnett. He's the director of the Fluoride Action Network and author of The Case Against Fluoride. Dr. Kinnett, good to have you join the Oakley Show.
Thank you.
Well, you know, first off, the president of the Ontario Dental Association, as you might have heard, is a big advocate of, and he says, but he's willing to keep an open mind with the science because he says the science is still in flux. Do you believe the science is still open to questioning on this, or is it settled?
No, there are many more questions that need to be answered, but the one thing that is certain, that we're on a biochemical hiding to nothing when we swallow fluoride. There is absolutely no process in the body that needs fluoride, but there are many processes that can be damaged by fluoride. No question about that. So swallowing fluoride does not make sense, and nature gave us a very good clue that we don't need to swallow fluoride, and that is that the level in mother's milk, baby's first meal, is incredibly low, 0.004 parts per million, which means that a woman that bottle feeds her baby in Toronto is giving that baby 175 times more fluoride than a breastfed baby. That's not a sensible thing to do. In terms of damage, we know that one thing that fluoride causes is dental fluorosis. This is the mottling of the enamel. They thought when they began that they could limit this to 10% of the kids would get this condition in its very mild form. Today, 41% of American children aged 12 to 15 have this condition, and some in its moderate and severe forms. Now, that's damage that we can see. What about damage we can't see? What's the fluoride doing to the child's brains? What's it doing to its bones? What's it doing to its endocrine system? None of these things you can see with the naked eye. You're not going to notice them unless you do a study. And in Canada, you've done practically no studies whatsoever, no health studies. One study on bones shows that the level of fluoride in the bones of people in Toronto that get hip replacements are much higher than the bones of people in Montreal there's never been fluoridated.
This study exists, this empirical evidence or data?
Oh, absolutely. One of the co-authors of that is Hardy Lineback, former the president of the Canadian Association for Dental Research. So he knows what he's doing. He's one of Canada's leading researchers. Also recently came out against fluoridation.
Well, right. And yet, I would cite again yesterday, respectfully, we had Dr. Harry Hodiono on, the president of the Ontario Dental Association, who was a proponent of fluoride in the water. He says, look, anything in inordinate levels of concentration can be harmful. I mean, we put chlorine in our pool water to sanitize it, allow people to swim, but we wouldn't drink it per se. And I mean, there might be other things that he cited as well. Yet you maintain putting fluoride in water, we do so at our peril.
Absolutely. We've now got 25 studies, which show an association between moderate, not very high, but moderate exposures of fluoride and lowered IQ in children. Now, these are coming from countries like China and India, Iran, Mexico, which have high natural levels. And instead of trying to repeat these studies in Canada or other fluoridating countries, All the promoters do is to deny or criticize the methodology. But one of those studies shows a lowering of IQ at 1.9 parts per million. So it's all very well for Dr. Hodiono to talk about high and low concentrations. What he should be talking about is margin of safety. Is there an adequate margin of safety between the doses which cause harm and the doses that our children are likely to get in Canada? And that's all children. Now, the normal margin of safety you need for things like this is a factor of 10 to take into account the full range of sensitivity. not to, I haven't even included the full range of dose because you can't control the dose once you put it in the water. There's no way that you've got an adequate margin of safety if somebody has found a lowering of IQ in 300 children in China with their homogeneous genetics and lifestyles and so on. So this is absolutely ridiculous. Ask any parent, which would you think is more important, to protect your children's brains or protecting their teeth? And as far as protection is concerned, there is no difference in tooth decay today. This is World Health Organization data between children that have grown up in fluoridated countries and non-fluoridated countries. And in Canada, the tooth decay in British Columbia and Quebec is better than the tooth decay in Ontario. Ontario is about 70% fluoridated, and Quebec is about 3%, and British Columbia even less.
Well, let's compare apples to apples. You've got, let's say, a city that's had fluoridated water, then decides to stop the practice. Have you noticed that the incidence of tooth decay have changed?
Well, there are four studies out there, four modern studies since, I think, 2000, which have shown in former East Germany, in a town in Cuba, in towns in British Columbia, and in Finland, that when they stopped fluoridation, tooth decay has not gone up. And you know, the city council, I think Dr. Hazel Stewart, commissioned a report on this very question from a graduate student at Toronto University. And that student, I'm told by people who've seen the report, confirmed that tooth decay does not go up when a city like Toronto stops fluoridation. But Dr. Hazel Stewart has refused to make that paper available to the public. And that is preposterous.
But what would this, if what you're saying is correct, why would there be a refusal to release this information?
Well, I think this incorporates a lot of the sort of situation with people that promote fluoridation today, whether it's the dental lobby, the Ontario Dental Association, or the health representatives in various cities around Canada. They are frightened, they are scared stiff of losing credibility.
Why would the dental lobby, though, want to promote fluoridation? It would just curb their business. I mean, wouldn't they want many?
No, studies have shown there's as many dentists or more dentists being employed today in fluoridated communities than non-fluoridated communities. And in fact, more time is spent in the dental office treating the effects, the negative effects of fluoride, namely dental fluorosis, than is treating dental decay, or would be spent treating the very small amount of dental decay that might occur if you stop fluoridation, if you assumed the best from their point of view.
The great fluoride debate, again on the line, Dr. Paul Kinnett, director of the Fluoride Action Network, author of The Case Against Fluoride. Is he making a compelling case? Let's take Howard's call. Howard, you're a dentist?
Yes, it's a great day for talk radio.
Thank you, Howard. We've got Dr. Kinnett. He's against fluoride. How about you as a dentist?
I don't buy any of his stuff. He's making it up as he goes along. 25 studies, Iran, China. Who knows about these studies? He can say anything he wants. I practice dentistry in Toronto. I know that there's studies from municipalities all over Ontario where they don't fluoridate the water, and the amount of cavities that young kids are getting are much, much higher. And like you said, dentists wouldn't want to cite something that gives them business. I mean, I'm happy to have kids come in with good, healthy teeth. I've noticed the last several years of kids drinking more bottled water that there's an increase in cavities just from that. When I see kids come in with those that have more cavities, and I say, do you drink a lot of bottled water? The answer is routinely yes. So I don't buy his stuff for 1 second. Not for 1 second.
All right, Howard, I'll let you go, but
he doesn't buy it, but he hasn't read any of those 25 IQ studies. He can't tell us that they've done any study in Canada to check this out for themselves. And what we're looking at here is the classic denial syndrome. They work backwards. fluoridation is safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. If anybody comes up with a study which shows it's not effective, it's not safe, then it must be junk science. This is absolutely typical. As far as the evidence that he cited, this was all anecdotal. What I see, what I see. For us to take this seriously from a scientific perspective is he needs to go out and publish a study to show that the children in the non-fluoridated community have more tooth decay than in the fluoridated community, that the children drinking bottled water have more tooth decay than those that don't. When they looked at that very fact in Australia, in South Australia, they found there was no difference in the tooth decay between children who drank bottled water all their lives and children who drank fluoridated water.
All right. Well, you know, he did question the credibility of studies out of Iran, China, and India, et cetera. But
that's not good enough. That's not a scientific response. And if he wants to see chapter and verse, read my book. There's 80 pages of scientific references here.
All right. Your book is the case against fluoride. That's the way you're positioned. Now, what's interesting, where the city decided to keep the fluoride, Gord Perks, one of the counselors, is quoted as saying there's a mountain of evidence in City Hall that supports water fluoridation. You take him to task for that, Dr. Kinnett.
Absolutely. I don't know how much of many of those studies he's actually read. I challenge him to look at the studies. He won't find one randomized clinical trial that demonstrates that swallowing fluoride actually reduces tooth decay. And the reason for that is simple. Even the promoters now concede that the major benefit, the predominant benefit of fluoride is topical. It works on the outside of the tooth, not from inside the body. And the moment they recognize that, that should have been the end of fluoridation. If you want fluoride, and you want to apply it rationally, brush it on your teeth and spit it out. Fluoridated toothpaste is universally available. And that's what we should be encouraging children to do, not swallowing this known toxic substance and take all the risks that accompany that.
All right. We'll leave on that note. Obviously, this is one that's still very much up in the air, but you made the case. Dr. Paul Kinnett is director of the Fluoride Action Network. Again, the book he's referencing is The Case Against Fluoride, How Hazardous Waste Ended Up in Our Drinking Water, and the Bad Science and Powerful Politics That Keep It There. Very much appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
All the best. And so there you go. Don't know if we made any believers or changed minds, but just trying to add to the mountain of information.